Today on Seculo, the DOJ files federal charges in the horrific Charlotte attack. All right, can we just go to me? Can we start? All right, welcome to Seculo. Sorry about no intro today. We had technical difficulty there. We are talking about this breaking news item where Pam Bondi and the Department of Justice have called for a federal, for it to be a federal crime for that Charlotte light rail stabbing. We, a lot of the footage has been going, sadly, been going around the last 24 hours or so. We've seen the horrifically violent murder of a Ukrainian refugee, a young woman who simply was riding the train and no interaction. And of course, this opens up a big story of what the crime situation looks like in America right now. As you saw, the person who has been arrested, who President Trump has even called potentially for the death penalty for the alleged murder again of, and again, I think this is where it's a little different. You know, I'm typically not someone who ever promotes the death penalty. Actually, I'm not sure if I agree with it at this point, but this is a pretty clear-cut case where this person was murdered. Now, there has been calls for psychiatric evaluations and this kind of thing with this murderer who, as we know, had a very long record and was walking free. There has been also a lot to be said about people who are on the bus or on the train with them saying, you know, they didn't do anything, they didn't stand up. You know, I don't want to put any sort of blame on anyone who is around them. I think that you don't know what you would do in that situation. You don't even know if they even understood what happened. If you're wearing headphones, it didn't seem like it was a very chaotic situation in many ways. So I don't want to be putting a lot of blame on those people. But what I do want to put blame on is the system that is somehow letting people who are this violent, who have been convicted of so many different crimes, walk freely amongst people. And look, I've had it happen even to myself, where there are situations where you interact with people later on, you find out how bad it has been. And even the police know it. You know, the police forces a lot of times know about these guys. They know that this is happening, but they are hamstrung to do anything.
That's right. And as of right now, he has been charged with first-degree murder under state law. But also, Pam Bondi announced that she has directed my attorneys to federally prosecute DeCarlos Brown Jr., a repeat violent offender with a history of violent crime for murder. They're going to prosecute him for murder. That sentence sounded a little odd, but it's the way it's written. We will seek the maximum penalty that is for this unforgivable act of violence. He will never again see the light of day as a free man. And I think that this conversation, you know, there's a lot of angles to it that a lot of people online are hitting, but I think honestly, it does come back to the crime issue that we have seen in this country. And you see every opportunity that the left can make this political, saying, oh, you're only going after D.C., you're only going after Chicago, when in reality, and this is what we said last week on this broadcast, is that there are problems in New Orleans. There are problems in Memphis, which is in Tennessee. There are problems in St. Louis, in the red state of Missouri, that the city centers, the urban centers of our country have become a place where things like this happen, not super randomly anymore. You hear of just senseless violence, no interaction, no altercation between the perpetrator and the victim.
And no motive. Apparently.
And in this, like, you end up with a 23-year-old refugee who is fleeing Putin's reign of terror to get stabbed to death on a light rail system in Charlotte, North Carolina. That doesn't sound like what the United States should be, the beacon of freedom in this world.
That's right. Phone lines are open for you. I want to hear your thoughts. Obviously, be respectful, be kind to our phone screeners. I always say that. It's just true, especially when there's such a sensitive topic like this, and we know people are going to get riled up, as you should be. Phone lines are open, though, at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to be discussing what was going on in Russia, some of the updates in the war in Ukraine. And we'll have Mike Pompeo joining us a little bit later to talk about that. Of course, we're going to take your phone calls and talk about how the Supreme Court has fast-tracked the move, the appeal over Trump's tariffs and what that looks like and what it could look like coming up here in the very near future. Phone lines are open again at 1-800-684-3110. Go to ACLJ.org for a lot of great free content that you can share and spread to all your friends.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are lighting up at 1-800-684-3110. Of course, a lot of contacts, a lot of people coming in saying, you know, they're afraid, they don't know what to do. What can we do in these situations? Look, this is the nature of society, sadly, that we live in right now. I think that should tell you a little bit about the hearts and minds of the American people, of the human beings at this point, as much as it is the crime situation, the fact that this could even happen. Of course, this is not an isolated incident. This is one that we're seeing maybe a little bit more clear because of the footage. Because it exists. We can see what happens. We can see that the person walked free. They had an existing record that was extensive. You're also saying there was a Ukrainian refugee who was murdered in where? The state of North Carolina, not Chicago, not in Memphis or Detroit. This was happening in North Carolina, which again, it's not like this is a rural area. I think we need, you know, people who maybe don't live in the area don't know. I mean, these are big cities.
One of the biggest banking cities, right, outside of New York on the East Coast.
You may not picture that when you think of North Carolina. You may be thinking of the mountains or something like that. Of course, it's a beautiful area. But we're talking about major cities that are involved here. But you see this footage and you can't help but be shocked and horrified. Then also you have sort of the two sides here where President Trump, one, it took a long time for the news media to start covering it. So that was the whole story. Then once they started covering it, it had to be very careful and not skewed. And then you had another situation where President Trump and now the Department of Justice have stepped in and said, we believe this should be federally prosecuted.
And what is frustrating about this story in general, one, is that the tragedy and the senseless loss of life, I think, is getting overlooked by people on both the right and the left. This seems to be a bellwether moment for people in the conservative sphere saying, look, this is what we're talking about with the crime. Then obviously those on the left are trying to make it a racial thing, that the only reason they care is because of race issues with that. The problem is that this should be a moment that is in some ways unifying for our country. This is in North Carolina. It's not in Chicago. This is in there's a Ukrainian refugee who came here to flee Putin, something that the right has not cared as much about as the left when it comes to the politics of it. And this shouldn't be political. In reality, the United States cities should be free. They should be safe. They should be an example for the world. And we've gotten to a place where that is not the case. And I don't care if it's New York City and Los Angeles or if it's Charlotte and Memphis. These cities have become dangerous places, and not dangerous because of gangs that are fighting each other and you may get caught in the crossfire. It is when there is an individual that had no interaction with another individual got on the train, sat down after work, still in a work uniform from a pizza place, sitting down, minding your own business, and the person behind this individual decides to pull out a knife 4 minutes into the train ride and attack and then walk away. And so there's a lot of blame games going on with the people around. Ridiculous, because even in the footage, which is horrific, at first it appears that maybe she was just hit or just shoved. There was not even a scream or anything. But it should get much broader even than just the petty fighting over the story about the media is not talking about it enough or this isn't it. It should get back to, we are the United States of America. Our city should be safe. Our people should be able to go home from work freely and not be concerned about getting stabbed in the neck on the ride home, not after an altercation, not after a fight, but just for existing.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we've kind of let the public transit situation become like you're taking your life into your own hands. Like, that's become, honestly, think about New York in the subway system. It's become less about safety and more about you are taking a risk by using public transportation.
Right.
Which is absurd on the nature of itself. So much so they have clearly security cameras built into these. But that still does not stop the crimes, still does not stop people from being able to perpetrate this and get away with it for some time. Now, obviously, this person has been arrested. You have President Trump calling for the death penalty. You have a lot of extremes happening. But this is one case and one in many. And I want to go ahead and take a phone call. Jeff's calling from North Carolina. Of course, I'm sure, Jeff, this is dominating your news cycle there locally. But I should get your thoughts in general.
Well, you raised a point about bystanders not stepping in or just not doing anything. And I think that because of where we are right now, as a white male in a situation like that, the first thing you think of is, instead of reacting to help, you think of, this is going to destroy my family. Camera, this could be destroying me.
Well, and Jeff, what was extremely publicized was Daniel Penny in the New York subway, a Marine who stepped up to help people on a subway car, had to go through a public trial because of that. Because the individual that had mental health problems, that had was acting erratic and threatening and restrained him, died under restraint. And Daniel Penny was charged with murder for that. And America knows that. We saw it on television. So to Jeff's point as well, the people that are saying, look, no one stood up to help her, America's collective conscious knows that that happened recently, that even if you make a wrong move or try to help, that being a good Samaritan could cost you financially, your freedom, if you are convicted because something happens when trying to help another person. So the America helping each other sense of it has also been damaged in recent years because of good Samaritans that have stood up to help. When we have a problem where the police resources aren't enough to keep people safe, the court system, this individual had been arrested 14 times from larceny to armed robbery to assault since 2011. So this is not someone unfamiliar to law enforcement. They were currently had a pending psychiatric evaluation from the court. This person had been released on cashless bail numerous times, which cashless bail isn't you have to pay with a credit card. Cashless bail means you're released without having to pay anything. And these are some of the issues that we're seeing. And then the left, because it is the right that is saying, okay, this is a crime issue, has started to push back and try to it comes across as making excuses for what is an unexplainable act of violence instead of saying, you know what, we do need to figure this out. But their answers, even on CNN, is like, well, if someone has schizophrenia and is a criminal, you can't just put them in prison. It's like, well, if they are guilty of crimes and a repeat offender, then they aren't being rehabilitated justice system.
If we're going to have those kind of caveats, then there also has to be caveats to treatment. Right. It can't be, well, then you just are allowed to be free and do whatever you want to do because you are able to be designated in some form of mental illness. I understand there are people who suffer extremely from mental illness. I'm not saying they all need to be locked up or put in jail, but you know what? They certainly don't. But there are issues where these kind of things happen, where you're a violent crime perpetrator who's done them numerous of times, regardless of your situation. We have to have plans now in place. If you're going to put the plan in place saying you can't do this because someone has a mental health issue, well, then there has to be a way for them to be still held accountable, or at least someone around them to be held accountable for it.
Well, and I want to see a courageous Democrat right now. I really do. I want to see a courageous Democrat that will break with the party narrative that anything President Trump is doing is evil and should be rejected whole cloth. Because this is something that if we cannot solve as the American people, then what can we do? What can we do if we can't come together and say, let's take all the political trappings away from this about the location and the state and the refugee?
I mean, that's the answer.
But that can't be the answer.
It can't be the answer, but that will be the answer.
United States of America. That's why I want to see a courageous Democrat stand up and say, you know what? Let's work together and figure out and forget all of our talking points and all of our agenda. It won't happen, but that's what I would love to see, because that is the true spirit of the American people. Of coming together to try to solve something that should not be happening.
Yeah, hey, listen, phone lines are completely jammed right now. We're going to keep taking your calls coming up. In the next segment, Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us. We're actually going to talk a little bit about an update that's going on in the Russia-Ukraine situation. You're not going to want to miss this. It's another big moment where Russia has invaded another airspace, and it's getting wild once again. We're going to talk to him about that as well, some other things probably this as well. But stay on hold. If you're on hold, we're going to get to you coming up in the segments following. We're also going to talk about the Supreme Court, how they have fast-tracked the Trump tariff case, the appeal on that. So we're going to talk about what that looks like, what that could look like moving forward. Look, I know a lot of you have questions about the tariffs. A lot of you feel good about it. Some of you don't. You know, there's always both sides to some of these moves that President Trump is making. Whether you're sort of a traditional conservative Republican who's been voting Republican your whole life, or whether you're more of that MAGA conservative who maybe has been recently turned in the last decade to someone like President Trump, who you guys have very different points of view. Let's talk about that. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. But if you're on hold to talk about the situation in North Carolina, you know, I don't want to say situation, the murder in North Carolina that happened and how we can move forward as a society, stay on hold. I will get to you. Just stay on hold. So if you are Bill, Terry, Alton, Martin, Ann, and whoever's being screened right now, stay on hold. I'm going to get to you. I want you to also take a moment. Go to aclj.org. If you can make a donation, fantastic. But really, just look at the free resources we provide. Same with on the ACLJ app. All of it's free. None of it's behind a paywall, because people like you support this work. Whether that's our legal work, which we'll talk about a little bit later, whether that's this kind of show that provides an unbiased media report that I hope you enjoy. We'll be right back.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Well, Welcome back to Secula. We are now joined by Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Mike Pompeo, Secretary Pompeo. There's a lot to cover today. We've been this morning talking about, obviously, the attack in North Carolina, the murder in North Carolina, and everything that unfolded from there. So if you're still on hold to talk about that, like I said, stay on hold. We will discuss that coming up. But I also want to get your perspective on the global picture that we're seeing right now. As that we know, NATO had shot down Russian drones over Poland yesterday. This is after 19 incursions into Polish airspace, sparking, again, fears of what people keep claiming to be a potential World War III. But what is that? What message is Putin trying to send at this point when you are invading Polish airspace?
Yes, it's really quite something. It's been a wild 48 hours, strikes in Doha by the Israelis, and then this incursion by the Russians into Poland. Look, there's still a lot of unanswered questions about what actually happened. It's hard to imagine that 19 incursions were accidental. This looks like intentional provocation. I think in the end, your question is the right one. What's Putin trying to signal? And I think he's saying the costs on me aren't very high yet. I'm in this thing. I'm locked in. I'm going to stay at this. I'm going to continue to ratchet up the threat. I told you all that I wasn't just going after Ukraine, that I wanted to restore the Soviet Union, right? The empire that was once Great Russia. I think this is further evidence that he believes he has the upper hand. And I'm convinced, I saw a tweet from President Trump or a social from President Trump that says, here we go. I think that's true. I think it is the case that here we go. It's not World War III. There's still lots of ways that this can be pulled back, but it's going to require a coordinated response from NATO that is serious and measured in response to the threat that was and the action that was taken last night by the Russians.
Well, and Secretary Pompeo, we have seen now that Poland has invoked NATO Article 4. A lot of people know about Article 5, which is the collective defense when someone is attacked that the NATO members will join together. Lesser talked about Article 4. This initiates a formal discussion among NATO. They can bring their concerns to the NATO body. But is this the right response at this point? What does that signal to Russia? And just kind of your general take on this invocation of Article 4?
So that's exactly right. Article 4 is essentially a precursor step to Article 5. This is the NATO agreement that says any one nation in NATO can grab the others and have a conversation on topics that they want to. It's not much more than that. I think it's a very reasonable response given what we know about what happened in Poland. I think the NATO teams are probably already talking informally, but to have a formal meeting, to have a discussion, to figure out how to respond to what the Russians did, seems like exactly the right step. I'd remind everyone too, Article 5 matters a lot. We've invoked Article 5. The United States, we're the only one who's ever done that in Afghanistan when we asked NATO to come join us. But remember that Article 5 doesn't require any nation to come bring all of everything. It just says you've got to do your part. And I don't know if we'll get to that. I doubt that from just this incursion we will. But I think Article 4 provides the right mechanism for the NATO countries to get together and figure out how to respond.
And also, just a follow-up to that, that is Poland's response using NATO Article 4. But President Trump has been talking about the additional steps, the additional crippling sanctions and tariffs, not just on Russia itself, but also on trade partners and the like of Russia. Is now the time? President Trump has had meetings. He's seen Putin face-to-face. Is now the time to move forward as these provocations are moving further westward as opposed to just more action within Ukraine itself?
Look, I think it is. I've been advocating for the administration to actually do this before. I've not believed for a moment that Putin was remotely serious in his desire to have peace, right? There's no evidence of that. President Trump has tried very hard, right, to find this negotiated solution, and so have the folks he's had negotiating on his behalf. But there's no solution so long as Vladimir Putin thinks he can act with impunity. You know, this following the summit in Alaska really is a provocation from Vladimir Putin. Having worked with President Trump for 4 years, I have no doubt he sees it the same way and that he'll respond. I think the sanctions on India and on Europe, frankly, for purchasing oil from the Russians and on the Chinese as well, I think if we did those things, we could reduce the likelihood that we would end up in a worse place, a spiraling conflict, and we'd end up closer to peace if those sanctions were imposed and enforced now or very, very quickly.
I also want to get your take on the situation in Israel. You brought it up earlier. Obviously, Qatar has now threatened to retaliate against Israel after the strategic attacks that happened in their space. And look, I think this is a very different moment for the war in Israel. And, you know, we know that the American people are not American people. The American government has signaled that they're not too thrilled as well that the Israelis have gone in and done this. It obviously changes a bit of the conversation because Qatar has been the place where they've been going to negotiate. I've been asking, you know, when it comes to peace agreements potentially between Israel and Hamas. But here we are now at sort of another one of these breaking points where, like you said, even with Russia, it's like, what are they signaling? Israel has kind of come in and done a similar moment here, not to say unjustifiably. But I just want to get your thoughts as we've seen these sort of areas that maybe they harbor terrorism, but they are also on the negotiation stage play in.
So it is not unheard of for a nation to choose to attack a terrorist inside a sovereign country without its permission. You'll recall that's how we got to Osama bin Laden when we went and raided in Pakistan against the Pakistani government's approval. You got to go chase terrorists where you find them. In that case, I remember the conversations from history. You know, we told the Pakistanis, you got to turn them over. You got to get it right. Perhaps the Israelis did that for these folks as well. But the Israelis have now it's not a signal. The Israelis are simply determined to take down the folks who are continuing to kill Israelis. And that's what you saw. And they will pursue them to wherever they are. They did so in a way that appears to have been pretty surgical. There were no Qataris that were put at risk. I do remind everyone too, now Qatar has been fired upon by both the Israelis and the Iranians when they struck at Al Udeid. And so the Qataris find themselves in a very difficult position as a result of their efforts to try and be the peacemaker, the moderator. I hope that we can all find a way to get these hostages back and end this, but the Israelis are determined to make sure that Hamas and the threat from Iran never threaten them on their borders again.
I want to thank you for coming on today because I think you give a perspective and a different point of view that a lot of people may come in with. Because when you brought up the bin Laden thing, it should set a kind of a light bulb off for people to go, oh yeah, this is what we've done before. This does happen. Maybe it's a little different because you're dealing with a PR nightmare that Israel is dealing with right now. So it seems even more aggressive than going after, Osama bin Laden, but they're dealing with the same kind of nightmare that we were dealing with in a post 9/11 world. So I can understand it. Well, I thank you though for sharing that opinion, because hopefully it can at least give a perspective that maybe some of our audience and maybe even some in our own government aren't thinking about. So thank you again, Secretary Pompeo, for joining us. Again, I wanted to step in and say phone lines are completely jammed. Well, one line just opened up. Hey, so for you, if you're listening right now, one line just opened up. If you want to give me a call, you can do so at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to take all the calls we can in the next half hour. There's a lot of people who obviously are very upset with the situation unfolding in North Carolina and what it's going to look like now in the federal stage. We'll discuss it. As I've said, be kind to our phone screeners. Be kind on the air. We have a second half hour coming up. If you don't get us on your local station or you want to see us, you can join us, watch us each and every day on ACLJ.org. On YouTube, on Rumble, however you get your podcasts. You can not only can listen, you can see us, and if you watch live between 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time, you watch on YouTube or Rumble, you can comment, be part of the conversation online with thousands of people. Some like-minded, some not. Get involved. It's pretty fun. It's at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back in less than a minute.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged. now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Of course, we are talking about the top topic of the day, which is that President Trump and now the Department of Justice have said, hey, it is time to bring justice to the murderer in North Carolina from on a federal level. And we're going to talk about what that looks like coming up. Of course, we're talking about that murder that happened on the light rail between a woman who was just sitting there, Ukrainian refugee, not making a fuss, not even having interaction with what would be her murderer, who was just sitting behind her. The footage has gone everywhere. It is heartbreaking and horrifying to watch. But it opens up a much bigger conversation, which is we talk about crime in this country. We're not just talking about these hotbed cities. We're not just talking about Chicago or Memphis or Detroit. You know, you start talking about areas that have been historically, I mean, North Carolina, again, like I've said, I wanted to clarify, North Carolina, it's not like it's all rural. These cities, whether that's in, you know, Raleigh or any of these towns, are big. Winston-Salem, these are big areas with, as Will said, big banking opportunities there. If you ever look at the flights that you can take out of Raleigh or out of North Carolina, my wife and I flew to London from there. Why? Because there people are coming in nonstop direct because of the financial incentives in the banking industry that's there. So again, these are big cities. It's not just like small towns, but I do want to say you don't expect it in these areas. And when you have that, you have, you know, murders happening on the streets, whether it's here in Nashville, Tennessee, or whether that again is all over, you're going to have a lot of people who outcry and say, especially when it's with completely meritless. Not that any murder is merit, you know, has merit, but it was not involved in any altercation or issues or nothing got elevated or heated, but it's from someone who had a very long record and just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
And that's right. And you even bring up, though, that it's not a rural city there, but these stories, people may say these are one-offs, these are individuals. I mean, but then you
it's
can
the
also
that's you the
can
big problem.
Point to Chicago. How many people are killed, are shot dead over Labor Day weekend? Over any given time period, there's multiple shootings. There are multiple deaths due to that. But even this week, a story that's not getting a ton of attention, a 59-year-old retired professor from Auburn University, my alma mater, a rural campus. It's beautiful, but rural Alabama, not a city center like Vanderbilt or even University of Alabama, which Tuscaloosa is a larger city, but was walking her dog in a very common park, Kiesel Park, been there many times, was stabbed to death, and her truck was stolen. This is happening around the country, and there isn't one simple answer that, okay, you know, tougher on crime or options for individuals or mental health things. It has to be a holistic approach, I truly believe. And it's not just gun crime.
And it's certainly
it's
not
stabbing crime.
It's not easy.
There is a rot within the United States right now when it comes to violent crime. And when we get too political on it, you're never going to be able to make a dent in it. And that's what's happening right now.
And that's true for almost every issue right now, which is you've politicized every issue. When you politicize every issue, I saw an interview with Chris Pratt, who was talking about his relationship with Bobby Kennedy. It's like, he's like, I can't let my like or dislike of President Trump make me think that everything they possibly do is evil. I'm not going to go, well, you know what? Now I'm adding Clorox to my kid's cereal myself because you took it away. Because obviously we all want that, you know, to happen. We all want, you know, our kids to not have horrible things in their foods. That's sort of the situation, which is if you start playing politics with everything, nothing can ever get done. Phone lines are open. One line's open. Hey, Martin, you're coming up next. You are an ACLJ champion and you're in North Carolina. I want to hear from you. And then we're going to go down the line. We got Bill, Terry, Rhonda, and Ann. Ann's calling from New York, Terry in South Carolina. We got Bill and Rhonda in California, and so many more around the country and around the world. That's really been something the ACLJ has been able to do and the Seculo broadcast has been able to do over the last decade or so, is broaden our reach from not just within our own country, which obviously we've been on thousands of terrestrial radio stations over the last nearly 30 years. But we've been able to expand online to the point where we hear from listeners and callers and supporters all over the world that watch every day. If you're listening at noon right now, when we're live, noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time, you know, there are people that are just getting home or they're headed home right now in Europe. And they need something to listen to on this as their nightly watch. It's pretty amazing. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Secular. We are going to talk about that topic as well, which is the tariff case, the appeal from President Trump, and the Supreme Court taking it very quickly, fast-tracking it. But I first want to go to at least one phone call early on. Let's go to Martin, who's calling in North Carolina, who's an ACLJ champion. Again, in North Carolina is a champion. A champion is someone that gives on a monthly, recurring basis. That's like someone that's a member, essentially, of the ACLJ. That means they are supporting this show and this media operation and our legal operation on an automatic level, which is really amazing. And I like to, they tell the phone screeners, and I like to bump them to the front of the line. So Martin, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Jordan, I believe you were the one that mentioned about insanity pleas and things like that. In Winston-Salem, back in 1988, a lot of people, it may have been national news, I think it was, a fellow by the name of Michael Hayes shot 9 people, killing 4 of them. And there was a lot of controversy whether he was mentally capable or not. Long story short, the jury did come back with a not guilty by reason of insanity, but he was still incarcerated in Dorothea Dix Hospital in Raleigh for years, even to the point that because of yearly petitions to get out, some of the government Republicans tried to get the plea for insanity out to where you could be guilty but insane, which means you would still be incarcerated. But there was a lot of controversy about this, and it kind of just shows how we've digressed in the last 37 years to just letting people roam.
Martin, I think it's a very tough situation. There's no easy answers to any of this, and we said that, and you brought that up, because there's a lot of issues with people's freedoms and their rights, but when it starts turning violent, and not only violent, murder. And even if we back up and look at this guy's record pre this situation, pre the murder of a Ukrainian refugee just trying to live in America after escaping Russia, I mean, a young woman in her early 20s, it's heartbreaking. But you do look at, were there red flags before this? And the answer is, oh yeah. Like, major, not only red flags, convictions.
Well, and Martin, one of the difficulties of the world that we're living in currently is that I feel like the statutes on murder and things of that, like the way that they're examined are, was this someone who was angry at another person that they then decided to move forward and murder? Like, just a cut and dry, classic, whodunit. first-degree murder, when in reality, these innocent by reason of insanity or not guilty by reason of insanity issues are that the crimes that we're seeing now, there's no, even though murder is evil, there's no logical process to it. They are all insane crimes. This is not someone who was rationally thinking, lost control in an argument, and ended up murdering someone.
Well, no one rationally murder someone either.
Well, that's what I mean. Think, like it should be that all murder is done by an insane person, because that is an evil that you're perpetrating. Yeah. And so when you start to look down at it, though, there is a tipping point on the mental health issue and the crisis that we see, if then without due process, just based off psychiatric evaluations, people's rights start getting taken away, that you still have to respect the Constitution and the liberties of people, but it shouldn't be that you're hamstrung by the due process and things when there are crimes actually committed. And when someone has a long history and was pending a psychiatric evaluation, there's something wrong here. And it's not just that we suspect this person may commit crimes. This person has been committing crimes for a long time. And I feel like that's where there can be a balance between people's liberties and also understanding the condition of what's going on. And when you have that record and history, the system isn't rehabilitating you. Your punishment isn't causing you to turn your life around and be released back in as a productive member of society. Something has to be done to figure out how to stop things like this from happening.
Hey, phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. In the next segment, we are going to take some more calls. And we're probably going to take some in this segment as well, but we will be taking more coming up. Well, I know some people have been asking about this tariff situation, the Supreme Court. Obviously, the ACLJ always involved the Supreme Court of the United States, trying to figure out the best way we're going to get involved potentially in this one. Want to give everyone a bit of a roundup of what's happening.
That's right. So there was parties that went forward before different courts, whether the Court of Trade, also in some federal district courts, arguing that the president's tariffs should be overturned by the court because they weren't put in place by Congress. The president was using emergency powers to put many of these in place and is arguing that he did have the authority to. That's kind of the crux of the case. One court had put forward overturning them, but also put a stay on their own opinion, realizing that that could cause havoc and knowing that there would be an appeal. The Supreme Court has now fast-tracked this. Yesterday, in an orders list, they released that it has been the cert petition has been granted before the court. The motion to expedite and the petition for the writ has been granted as well. They consolidated a couple of different cases here, as well as putting the oral argument for this in November, or the first week of November 2025. So the Supreme Court will hear this in their next term. They go back in October, so very early in that term. I assume that they, while a lot of times opinions don't come out till the end, next June, that something like this could be expedited as well because of the nature of this, not holding on to it to the end of the Supreme Court term. But there's also the date for amicus briefs, which I know our attorneys had been following this, are looking at the potential of filing in this, but those are due September 23rd of this year. So just a few weeks away, 13 days away, amicus briefs are due. So if you're paying attention to this and interested in it, the ACLJ attorneys are also looking at this and potentially filing a brief as early as September 23rd.
That's right. Hopefully that gives you a good update of what's happening in the Supreme Court of the United States. I mean, I know the tariff battle has been something you've been concerned about, and that, Will, you've even been concerned about whether which way this was going to land economically, in terms of just not just politically. We kind of understood the political points of view of you have to act strong and be strong when a lot of these countries are not paying their proper due, but what the actual economic impact could be.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can look at this. You know, conservatives historically, more free trade is better. Although we're also not super keen on things like the income tax. Well, before the income tax, that's how the revenue of the government was financed, was through tariffs. And then central banking, Woodrow Wilson came along, a lot of fun things that I could bore you with for hours that that change the way the revenue of the United States is raised. Once again, now this would be kind of having both of them, but we've also seen that inflation has remained steady. It has not gone up, and as a matter of fact, has decreased the year-over-year rate of inflation in spite of the tariffs. We haven't seen those prices go up that everyone thought that they would on the critic side of it. So it is a very complex issue and doesn't fit nicely within one political ideological mold. But what we have seen is revenue raise that they're saying will pay down debt.
Results.
And you're also seeing the left pushing back against everything that the president would do.
It doesn't matter. Hey, I did also want to bring up, maybe something we could pull up. The Daily Mail has just obtained audio of that stabbing suspect. Again, I mean, I put suspect because we have to, but you know, we've seen the footage. We know what happened there. Claiming specifically that this was not them, that there was material in their bodies that were making them do what they did. This again shows another, opens up another interesting, point of view from this, saying, well, what controlled this? And when he says material, is this illegal material? Is this a doctor prescribed material? What does that look like? Maybe we could pull up more information. I know it's just breaking on the Daily Mail in the last 10 minutes or so that they have the exclusive audio, first time we've heard from jail from that murder. I don't necessarily want to give them airtime, but I would like to know what was stated in that as we have this discussion moving forward. We only got a minute and a half in this segment, but if you're on hold, Rhonda, Bill, and stay on hold. I'm going to get to definitely all three of you. There's three more lines open. If you call in, I'll do my best. 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. When you're looking at where you're going to make your donations and you're supporting different nonprofits and organizations, I want you to encourage you to look at the ACLJ. We provide all this content. There's a lot of organizations who do maybe similar content. Maybe they do a daily broadcast like ours. There's a couple big differences. Number one, we never put our stuff behind a paywall, and we're not supported by major sponsors or advertisers. And that's by choice. If you're listening to us on terrestrial radio, there's a good chance we're paying to be there. And you may say, well, why would you do that? Your show's good enough to you get paid. That's right. But then you have a corporate overlord who tells you what you can and can't say. And I'm not about that here. And we're not about that here at the ACLJ. We want to tell you and be honest. Whether you like it or not. I know I always say that and people get kind of mad, but it's just true. Whether you think that, you know, we don't tell you necessarily what's right and what's wrong. We will tell you we feel that way when it's from our point of view. But whether it's legal, illegal, a lot of times, it's pretty cut and dry, as Will said. And sometimes you don't want to hear it. But you need people who are going to be honest with you and honest brokers. Whether that is our incredible legal team who is fighting right now as we speak. They're headed to Chicago for those. We'll get into that coming up in the next segment, too. Just another incredible time to be a member of the ACLJ and supporter, because our legal cases have never been hotter. And, of course, all the media work. Go to ACLJ.org, and we'll be right back with your phone calls.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not,
Well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Secular. We do have three lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. But we got a bunch of calls already, and I want to make sure we get to them. Some have been on hold for quite a while. Bill in California, who watches on Facebook. Bill, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, as I said before to the person who talked to me earlier, there's two crimes committed there on that light rail train. Obviously, the murder. But secondly, the people that created the environment that put that person on the stage. I've been watching for 64 years the moral integrity of our government and our population degrade to almost worthlessness. The moral principles that created our laws for punishing things like murder have been basically created worthless. And secondly, and maybe even more importantly, you know, they talk about justice and the civil rights of the accused. What about the person that was murdered?
Right, Bill, we appreciate you calling in with your point of view and your thoughts. I think a lot of people, like one of our previous callers said, for those people around them, they're scared. They're worried for themselves. And you know, that may be selfish. That may be where we are as a society. But you know, when you have these crimes perpetrated, you do start to wonder, well, what is this going to look like if I get involved for the rest of my life? And obviously, they don't want to end up in a situation where they're injured. But we're also talking about, sadly, the culture that will go after someone immediately over one, you know, poor decision. You even look at, and look, I'm certainly not on the side of the woman who took the baseball from the kid that happened over the weekend. But that woman's life is practically ruined at this point. I mean, you're never going to be able to get around that being what she is known for the rest of her life. A poor decision made in a poor moment. And yes, one that I, as a dad, who has gone through that, I certainly am not on the side of her. But I do wonder in these cases where you know you're on camera all the time and these things happen, what you do and what you would do. We all like to think we'd like to rise to the occasion. But maybe you go into panic. Maybe you don't know what's, you know, going next. Have you ever been in a situation where it feels like a violent crime has occurred, about to occur? There is that sort of shock that comes upon you where you don't even know how to interact. Will and I have been in some of those situations together, and it happens. Let's go ahead and take some more calls. Let's go to Ann, who's calling in New York. You're going to be on the air in 1 second. I did want to address, before I get to there, there has been some of that audio that has been released. A lot of it, Will, is just coming out right now, so I'll let you just
say that. So, the sister of the individual of the suspect shared with the Daily Mail a phone call she had with her brother.
The suspect, the murderer.
Right.
Alleged murderer.
Correct. Yeah, just make sure. That is 6 days after he was arrested. And he explained on that call to his sister what was going through his head. He has been described as someone who has schizophrenia. And he told his sister he believes the government had planted foreign materials into his brain and they had been in control of his actions when he pulled the knife. In the recording, it says, we haven't heard the recording, we're reading from the Daily Mail, that I hurt my hand stabbing her. I don't even know the lady. I never said one word to the lady at all. That's scary. Why would I stab somebody for no reason? That being said, also there on the original footage, it's from the train, there are reports that he said, I got that white lady. So there is conflicting issues here, and clearly someone who is not well. There's a reason there was a pending mental evaluation, mental health evaluation, psychiatric evaluation of him.
This is proving my point once again, is that it also, like, this person was not mentally well. We all said anyone who murders is not mentally well, but you have someone who probably was suffering from some form of mental illness, schizophrenia, who was having these conversations, by the way, with a loved one. I'm not saying you need to put the legal blame on any of the loved ones as well, but how about just the moral blame? How about just take care of your family? I'm not saying that this sister has to do that. I'm just saying if they have people around them that are having these conversations they're with, you got to at least take some responsibility and step up for your family and say, we need to get this handled. We need to get this taken care of. They shouldn't be riding a public transit by themselves. Again, I don't think there's legal ramifications to that. I don't think there should be necessarily legal ramifications to your family having to do something like this. You're an adult person. It happens. But maybe, again, maybe just from a moral point of view, there can be. Let's go ahead and continue. We got one more call, at least. Let's go to Rhonda. Ann. We were waiting on Ann. Ann, you're on the air in New York.
Hi. I've been listening to this whole thing that's been going on, but I just want to ask you something. We have the left. I'm going to say the left. They have been fighting Donald Trump on just about everything. President Donald Trump. Why are these mayors and these governors not fighting the crime? This young person, this beautiful young person that we actually watched stabbed, murdered to death on a train. Why are they not fighting that? Why are they not protecting these young children instead of making more coffins for them to go away from? These parents are never going to see this child again. They're not going to see her grow up. They're not going to see her have children. They're not going to see her get married. But yet all you hear is race, 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 and color. They need to stop that because they have done nothing but spew this total hatred upon this country today.
Look,
and I think it's very, very sad for what they have done. This beautiful young girl would be alive today had it been for the governors, the mayors, and the judges holding this person accountable. So my question to you is, why can't the judges be held accountable when they release such an offender as this with a rap sheet as long as it was, who committed such a heinous crime, and we actually watched it on television? You cannot say it wasn't him. It was him. We saw him. We saw him with the knife in his hand. Whether he has mental issues or not, I believe that this was all indoctrinated on this country by everything that has been being spewed out there. And right now, the news media is not going to have compassion. They're not going to have compassion at all. And that's a sad part. There's no moral issue here. They're not looking at this girl as a young girl. They're looking at her as a white woman, as a white person.
And
instead of looking at her
I
as
am
a
child. Only cutting you off because we're running out of time. We got one more call coming up. I don't disagree with you. I think we need to be much stricter on this. As someone who's been involved maybe too directly in some situation that did not end up like this, but very well could have, with people who are violent and had violent nature and were convicted of many different crimes over the years, but let out within hours of those crimes being committed. We have to. There's got to be complete reform here.
Well, and that's to Ann's point as well, is that that when someone has something that is debilitating and causes them to act irrationally, like schizophrenia, that it shouldn't be seen as an excuse for the crime. It should be a reason to get someone help or keep them out of situations where they can commit more violent crime. The fact that this individual had this long rap sheet, was out on cashless bail and was awaiting a psychiatric evaluation, that should not have been the case if that is the potential for future harm.
Hey, Rhonda, I am so sorry that we're not going to be able to get to you today. I was really hoping we could. You've been on hold for 45 minutes. I hate that. Call me first thing tomorrow, and I'll make sure you're the first caller up. So again, Rhonda, California, I do apologize. Someone just called in before, and I appreciate it. That's going to do it for today's broadcast. Unfortunately, we have a hard out right now, so there's nothing I can do about that. We want you to support the work of the ACLJ if you can. Obviously, I say a prayer for all those affected by what's going on around the world, whether that is North Carolina, whether that's in Washington, D.C., whether that's in Israel. It's a tough time in the world right now, and hopefully there'll be some bright news that we can share with you soon. And maybe that's coming from our ACLJ team, as we know they are fighting very, very hard battles right now, but hopefully for some very good results in court right now. We can't do that without you. Let's go to ACLJ.org and be part of our team. Talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.